Well, the Rough Riders didn't surrender.
Woo!
Every time I talk about Saturday's football game, I get just as excited as I was at the end of that game going, what did we just witness? Locker, you were in the stands with people.
Yeah.
Of course, we're in the studio. We're ready for the postgame show. I thought I was going to have to run down the hall and get the AED. Maybe the same with Daryl, too. And actually, probably producer Chance would have had to pop all three of us at one point. What was it like in the stands?
It was a roller coaster. I'm trying to find the best way of describing it, because it was up and down, right?
Were you dizzy?
Not so much. It was a roller coaster of emotions. And the thing about it, I got the sense that everyone wanted to cheer for the team, but people were so angry about the decisions that were being made, especially in the last 3 minutes, that there was a lot of confusion about how to get behind the team at that point, right? We talked about that, right? There was nobody in Rider Nation was on Corey Mays' side in the decisions he was making the last 3 minutes. Everybody was questioning it, and it was you could feel it going through the stadium too. People were like, what's he do? What? He's kicking it away again? What are you doing? Like, so you want to support the team, but at the same time, there's that kind of energy, right? And because you've got an entire building that knows more about football than any other
fan base
in the country. And so it was a lot of that push and pull. And then I think when that throw was made to touchdown Tommy, I thought the roof was going to blow off the place, and there's no roof. Like, people, we were going crazy. Like, I think everybody in my section, we were touching hands. Like, everybody, we're just running around the section. Like, it was nuts.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen,
that was a fun night.
Are going to the Grey Cup. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports stories. And the game on Saturday was not for the faint of heart, but the Rough Riders will be the West Division representative in the 112th Grey Cup.
Harris, end zone! Touchdown! Touchdown, Tommy Neal! 11 seconds to go!
Woo! And then they reviewed it. And everybody was like, oh,
that
no.
Took too long.
Oh,
that
no.
Also, I think, that was the pressure cooker.
The longer that went, it was like, what angle did they, Do they have an angle? Do they have a fuzzy, blurry screen grab Amar Doman is sending to a CFL command center right now? What is happening? But it was confirmed. It was a touchdown. Tommy Neal.
That was the other thing. In our section, everyone's like, they're going to take it back. They're going to take it back. They're going to take it back. That's how we get.
Yeah.
That's how
they want Nathan Rourke in the Grey Cup. It's rigged. But it's not. The Riders will appear in the Grey Cup for the first time since 2013. Trevor Harris, one win away from doing something he hasn't yet in his 14 years in the Canadian Football League, which is start a Grey Cup game and win a Grey Cup game. Of course, he's won as a backup and led the Ottawa Redblacks to a Grey Cup, but they lost that one in Edmonton, Alberta. So Sunday, November 16th, 5 o'clock kickoff. The Green Zone pregame show at 3 as we will be in Winnipeg. Starting tomorrow here on the Green Zone.
The East and West MLP nominees won't be playing in this weekend's football game.
No, they won't. So
I'd like to point that out.
The Riders will face the Alouettes, who walk it off in Hamilton.
Montos Diaz with an opportunity to win it.
Yeah!
That's your winner. Won by a field goal. Alouettes 19, Ticats 16. It was tied for quite some time, too. So that was a closer than needed to be game. I think a closer game than a lot of people anticipated, too. I think a lot of people thought Davis Alexander and the Alouettes were going to walk all over the Ticats because of that that defense kept him in it, though. Montreal touched the trophy, the East final trophy. The Riders
touched it. They were grabbing it. They were sharing it. They were taking photos with it. Corey Mace looked at that thing, said, "See you later," and walked away.
A lot of talk about Davis Alexander possibly being hurt. He came up limping a little bit.
That's not good. That hamstring is not good. That's not, if you're an Alouette fan, that's not good.
There's no way he doesn't play this weekend, though.
Oh, he's going to play.
Yeah.
Will he finish is the big question. That's going to be the biggest storyline of the week. It's Davis Alexander watch for the Montreal Alouettes. Both teams arrive. Actually, Montreal's landing in about an hour and a bit. The Rough Riders are holding a rally. If you haven't heard, rally at Mosaic Stadium in an hour. So I know some of the kids off you head on over. Wish them luck. It sounds like Corey Mace is going to address the fans, and then they'll load up the bus and head to the airport, and they're off to Winnipeg this evening, land around 6 o'clock. Coaches news conference tomorrow. First practice likely Wednesday as CFL week begins in Winnipeg. But the news in the CFL isn't stopping. The Toronto Argonauts have been given permission to talk to Mike O'Shea.
Their number one candidate is Mike O'Shea. As I say, I expect them to make an aggressive push at O'Shea this week.
So Mike O'Shea gets given permission to talk to the Toronto Argonauts, of course, after Ryan Dinwiddie jetted off to Ottawa. So he is going to be their top priority. Also, Naylor, that was Dave Naylor, of course, our CFL insider on TSN's pregame show on Saturday. He's also reporting the Argos are probably going to reach out to Kent Austin to gauge interest. He's at the University of Auburn. Their head coach just got fired, so usually that means there's going to be a new coaching staff there. Another rumor is Hamilton Tiger Cats president Orlando Steinauer, also a former Argonaut. Will he want to come out of the presidency role in Hamilton to coach again is a big question going around the Canadian Football League heading into Grey Cup week, and I know there's going to be a lot of rumors flying around Winnipeg all week long.
We'll stay on the coaching train here. Another coach has been fired in the NFL, and it's not Mike McDaniel.
Williams running. Caleb Williams into the end zone.
Brian Daboll, Giants head coach, has been let go. It is amazing that the Dolphins continue to roll with their coach and everybody.
What? They beat the Bills.
I know.
You lost to the Dolphins, Locker.
I was hoping you were going to bring that up.
Blew it against the
Bears.
Just
wait till what I bring up during our hockey highlights.
Jackson Dart was concussed. Russell Wilson came in. The Bears scored two touchdowns in the final 4 minutes to win the game. So, Daboll.
Bye to Brian Daboll.
Hey, he used to be the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. Maybe they can bring him back and
heat up Josh Allen, who sucked against the Miami Dolphins in a loss.
Would they do that?
Not in midseason, no.
No.
It'll be Joe Brady for the rest of the year. Let's go to the NHL. Oh, boy. Somebody get some cold water and dump it on Nathan MacKinnon, because he's on a heater right now.
Centering pass. Nichushkin gives her cross. Score! Nathan MacKinnon! Here comes Olofsson trying to give it across again. MacKinnon turns and fires and scores! Nathan MacKinnon!
Nathan MacKinnon's weekend went pretty well. Pretty good. 9 points in two games.
He had a Gretzky weekend.
Oh, boy. 5 points against the Vancouver Canucks. It was a 5-4 overtime win. He accounted on every single goal. Of course, he had 4 points in Edmonton on Saturday night. Weren't you... Was that? Did you go home to watch the Oiler game after the Rider game?
So we went out with friends, and they weren't going to go out after the game
until the win.
Well,
then you need a celebratory
beverage. He had to go play volleyball at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday,
And he's like, I'm not going out after the game. We're like, that's fine. That we get that. And then as soon as the game was over, he was like, where are we going?
So we went out and had a couple of drinks.
So you missed the Oiler game.
I missed the Oiler
game. That's a good thing because it was 9-1. Here's the thing. Hold on a sec. I couldn't believe this stat. So I'm working, right? I'm here. I'm writing my post-game column. You can read it at cjme.com and ckom.com. Nice little plug. Okay, so you go there, read that. So I am not even, I'm clueless to what's going on in the National Hockey League. Then Britton Gray, who's also working his tail off, which you can read his stuff at cjme.com and ckom, and he's going to work his tail off even harder in Winnipeg this week. He's going to be great. I know it. But he goes, did you see the score of the Oilers game? I went, no. Then I looked it up, 9-1. But then I was like, then I looked. Every single Oiler was a dash.
Yeah.
Dash one. All 18s. I'm like, how did that happen? Like, what?
They spread it out. Nice.
No. The Avalanche went, and then I saw they went 0-7 on the power play. That means 8 goals were scored 5-on-5, and the other one was shorthanded.
Yeah.
I'm like, how is that possible?
Well, and the
Oilers goal was power play, so nobody got a plus on that one.
I watched.
That's incredible.
I rolled tape on it and I watched it the next day just to see what happened. And because I was trying to figure out how do you lose 9-1? When you're the Edmonton Oilers, how do you lose 9-1? And the frustrating thing about it is that the Oilers, I don't want to exaggerate here. I'm not going to say the whole period, but the first half of that first period dominated that game. They completely controlled the puck.
Well, congratulations.
And then
I'm glad you had a good
the
first
second period started, and it was just like it was over. They couldn't keep the puck out of the net. Everything that they threw at Skinner, and then Pickard went in, and it wasn't much better, right? Like, yeah. It was a mess. Complete mess. If you're not questioning, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, well, McKinnon or
check in on
McDavid,
Ingram.
McDavid and Bouchard got at it a little bit at practice yesterday. That was interesting. Meanwhile, coming up here on the Green Zone, we got a lot to break down when it comes to Saturday night's West Final. We're going to debate what was the play of the game, because Daryl on the postgame show said it was the Tommy Neal touchdown, and we had a bunch of people say, no, that was the play. This was the play of the game. Yeah. What was your play of the game that you think was the spark that got the Rough Riders into this week's Grey Cup in Winnipeg? Let us know coming up here on the Green Zone. But next, did anybody win any cash with the Tic Tac 20 contest? We'll tell you on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Reg, kick off the show. First caller up after the Riders make the Grey Cup. What was the play that had it for you? What sparked this team to the Grey Cup?
Well, first thing I want to tell you is when I phoned in, the guy asked if I could hold, and I was sure glad I wasn't pulling the incontinence line. Anyhow, I think the only thing that won the game was vintage Trevor Harris. You know, that last drive, you know, less than 2 minutes left in the game. My concern was that they're going to score too soon and give BC a chance to come down and get a field goal.
Too soon. I see what you did there.
Well, Trevor Harris, right at the end of the game, was it you? Somebody said it earlier. Was just like, that was Trevor Harris was not going to lose that game. He just had it in his eyes. Like, there's no.
He came out
chance.
He was really frustrated in the first half. And then the second half, it was like, yeah. All right, let's go.
Real quick, Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. Kirk, who texted us, I finally got picked. There wasn't anything anywhere close to 20.
It was 3 minutes.
3 minutes into the first period. That was the quickest goal on Saturday. So better luck next year to Kirk on the Green Zone Tic Tac 20 contest. But you can still win maybe $200 because the jackpot's going to be $200 next Saturday. You can sign up right now at cjme.com and ckom.com. Boy, Tommy Neild. You need some unexpected heroes every so often in a time like this, and the Rough Riders got one in Tommy Neild. When you went across the board out on the field, you had Sam Emelis and Kean Schaefer Baker and Dante Myers, who had a great catch the play before. Like, oh, unbelievable.
That close
catch
to the end zone, everyone thought that AJ was getting the ball. That's what I thought.
Didn't go to Mr. Ouellette. Instead, Trevor Harris threw a dart to Tommy Neild, who kept it off the turf for a touchdown. Let's get to Taylor Shire covering the Saskatchewan Rough Riders here on the Green Zone from the Regina Leader Post. Taylor, how many people have you talked to just saying, that was crazy, what a game, in your friends and family group?
All of them, yeah. It's and you know what? You know, Tommy Neild deserves a lot of credit, and a lot of talk has been about that play, but I think equal amount of talk has been about the decision to kick the field goal moments prior, a few minutes prior, right, when they're down at the five-yard line, and to kick that, and what that decision could have cost this team. So, yeah, lots of still some second-guessing, but lots of excitement, too, no doubt.
Catch or no catch?
Well, that picture should not be even posted because it clearly is not pixelated enough. It's clearly a catch.
It's his elbow!
That was his elbow on the ground. Yeah, it's. I was kind of. Yeah, I don't like stuff like that. It's like conspiracy theory.
Does the owner get a fine for that?
He's got to get fined.
Anyway, before I have my own theory on something else that we've talked about, and we talked about it on the Leader Post podcast this morning with Daryl Davis. Hear me out here, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. The Riders elect to kick that field goal because they want to put the ball in Trevor Harris's hands to win the game. Had they gone for the touchdown, it would have been a tie if they would have made it. And then potentially the ball would have been on Brett Lawther's leg to win them the game. Did Corey Mace have the confidence to bring out his kicker to win the game in the final minute from 30, 40, whatever yards? Or did he want to put the ball in his quarterback's hands, take the 3 points to get them closer, still needing a touchdown to win this time, and put the ball in Trevor Harris's hands with the minute left, whatever it might have been, and win that way? Do you think that at any point that crossed his mind? I don't think Mace will ever say, because he doesn't want to, you know, throw his kicker under the bus, but I just think you want to have the ball in your best player's hands, and I think
you start.
That led to his decision to kick that field goal.
I brought that up earlier in the Green Zone Lounge today, where I went, if you got a 16-yard field goal, or whatever that was, it was, wasn't it, no, 13-yard field goal. 13-yard field goal right now. No, you need a touchdown to win. You need, no, you, to win that football game, you needed a touchdown.
You needed to score twice.
Yeah. So,
field goal, whatever it might be.
So, in that, I brought it up going, you kick the field, knowing it's like Brett Lawther from, Brett Lawther from 13's automatic. Like, everybody from 13's automatic. If we score a touchdown now, or even if they don't get it, we're still going to have to score a touchdown anyways. So we need a touchdown. So let's just kick the field goal so it doesn't come down to maybe a 53-yard field goal to win. We got a 13-yarder right now, and we know we need a touchdown anyways. Let's get the defense back out there and get a stop and get the ball back. Like that. I've also thought about that, Taylor, on going, maybe it was just, let's kick the field goal now so it's not a ridiculously long one later.
Taylor, I think he was more concerned about getting the points right then and there and not losing possession of the ball. I think it was more, it wasn't so much about who's going to win, who's going to score the final points, as opposed to, let's get those points now, let's get my defense back on the field, get the ball back, and then we'll go from there. I don't think he was 5 steps ahead from that point. I think he was 1 step ahead. And it was, if I can get the defense back on the field, we can get another quick two and out. That's what I thought.
Well, even to the point where might have been Justin Blackwell who brought it up, saying just knowing the strategy of BC, if you kick the field goal, they don't need to score. They just need to run the clock out. But if you get a touchdown, they're going to be chucking it down the field, And we know they're going to run it. And I'm taking my defensive line over their offensive line. And that could have been in his thought process.
Plus, you're still tied.
All we know is this. Torrey Mace is a lot smarter than 30,000 people that were sitting there at Rider Nation all going, what is he doing? Because come on, Taylor, admit it. There might have been even a few in the press box who were saying that.
Yeah, oftentimes there's coaching decisions where you're like, oh, it's half and half, it's split, or maybe 75-25. This was 99.99%.
Yeah, we've actually, and the guy that wasn't questioning anything texted us, ironically.
Yeah.
Oh. And said he was fully on board. And I haven't responded to him yet.
I disagreed with it while it was happening, but as I've sort of reflected on it and thought about it, I don't mind it. I don't know if I would have ever done it in that way he did it, but I kind of see his thought process as I thought about it a couple days later.
What are we, not that we don't know about this team, but what more did we learn about this team and who they are after Saturday's game and what took place to get them to a Grey Cup?
You know what? I don't know if we learned anything new. I think it solidified a lot of stuff for me, that the way they were able to put that final drive together, it was calm. It almost didn't feel like the moment was too big for them. And even after that drop by Dell Duncan Busby, there was like a moment of doubt, right? And could this be it? Could this be the end? But they came right back and threw another chunk play, got another chunk play, right? Their players, and you guys talked about it before, every one of those receivers made a big catch. You know, you have the three guys on that final drive. Keen Schaefer Baker made a bunch of catches, had a touchdown earlier in the game. Their top four receivers each had big moments in the game. And I think that speaks to the depth that we always talk about, the depth that they have throughout the lineup. The offensive line did a tremendous job protecting. AJ Ouellette had a great game. I think that was just this sort of total team effort. Defense obviously played well, obviously got that huge stop. Special teams played well. That, to me, it wasn't like the blown off the charts type of game, but when you think about how all three phases played, that's kind of exactly, I think, what they had hoped for, to put that sort of complete team effort together.
Who has the advantage going into the Grey Cup on the quarterback side?
Well, geez, I guess we'll find out if you guys, again, talked about this, if Davis Alexander is able to fully run the offense and fully use his legs and be close to 100%, well, then I think it's a toss-up. But if he's limited at all with his hamstring, then Trevor Harris, with his experience, his poise, having been there before, versus a guy who's, yes, he's on an amazing hot streak right now with 13 straight wins, but he's never been to the Grey Cup, never started a game of this magnitude. I mean, it doesn't look like the moment's going to be too big for him. He's handled everything that's thrown his way, but I think the injury would sort of cloud things up, in my opinion.
What do you think, though, Taylor? As we talk to Taylor Shire, Regina Leader Post, you can check out, he and Daryl do the Rider Rumblings podcast as well. What do you think Davis will be? Like, I have serious doubts that he can perform anywhere close to 100%. Like, I'll say it right now. I fully expect to see McLeod Bethel-Thompson at some point have to throw the football in the Grey Cup game. Huh? I truly believe that. The way that hamstring's gone all year and the way that looked in the East final. But Taylor, maybe you think he'll gut it out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I don't think it's not going to be cold necessarily in Winnipeg. It's going to be warm though. That obviously doesn't help when you're trying to loosen up a hamstring. And you could see it during the East final, right, where he's been sort of getting treatment in between series. Will he start? Yes. Will he finish? I don't know. Yes, will we see Bethel Thompson at some point throughout the game? That is obviously a huge advantage for the Rough Riders if that injury does affect his status or his ability, even when he's out in the field. I still think he can throw, still think he can operate the offense, but I think it does take away some of that stuff that he can do with his legs. Even if he does play the whole game, I don't think he's as effective as he can be, right? And I think that is, a massive advantage for the Rough Riders.
What do you do with a hamstring? Milt was talking about that. He said that's a tough one because there's no pills. There's no, they're not going to shoot you up and send you out. There's nothing they can do for that, right? So I'm guessing it's just like, is it just heat? Sit on this for a minute, Davis.
Yeah, that got to be. I don't know. In your hockey era, Taylor, did you have ever have hamstring issues?
Yep, hamstrings are tough. Groins are probably the worst. When you pull a groin, it's like you can't do anything. Hamstrings are, I'd say, a close second. Because you can still move around, right? It's not like you broke your arm or whatever where you like physically can't be out there. It's one of those things you have to like play through, tough it out, like the gray area, almost like an oblique, right? When you can sort of twist a little bit. Think about the Blue Jays, George Springer, right? Like he had obviously this oblique issue and he was still fighting through it, but still able to play. Like these are these injuries where you can still play through, but you certainly, unless he completely tears it, right? Then that's a different thing. But it's obviously an injury, but we don't know the extent of it at this point. But
if he tore that, he
can fight, can battle through, but how much will he be affected by it? We don't know yet.
Okay, high pressure question as we say goodbye to Taylor Shire. Let's kick off the week. Who wins the Grey Cup, Taylor? No pressure.
You know what, Jamie? I've got the Riders. I'm not going to give you a score right now, but I think Saskatchewan can pull it out based on the experience that their entire roster, the coaching staff, everybody in the organization has. I think they'll get it done this year.
The calmness?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I was blown away by. It wasn't necessarily that there were individuals that were calm and looked composed. It was that coaching staff... Although Mark Mueller, he looks very stressed out on camera when you watch the games.
Well, they only show him about a dozen times on TV. Yeah.
But that coaching staff, and it sort of eked its way into the rest of the team. The team looked, they looked like it was the start of the game in that last 3 minutes, right? To a man, every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's again, and they talked about it after. That's how they practice. A lot of guys said it felt like practice. They knew what they had to get done. They got it done. And I sort of asked a few guys after about like the jubilation of winning a massive game like that. And a lot of them said, yeah, we'll celebrate it tonight, but 1-0 next week. And to win a West final and have that sort of mindset to be like, no, we're not, the job's not done yet. Like getting to the Grey Cup was the end goal. Winning it is. And I think that's the biggest thing is they get some unfinished business.
Love the message from Corey Mace. They posted on the Riders' social media after the game was just, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But we're not done yet. We have one more to go. One more to go. Well, Taylor, we'll see what happens.
Thanks for this, Taylor.
Through Winnipeg. Thanks for your time. Rest up the voice.
Enjoy the week.
That is Taylor Shire, Regina Leader Post, Rider reporter, as we get you set for Grey Cup 112 in Winnipeg. We're on our way tomorrow to give you wall-to-wall coverage all week long right here on the home of the fans, the Green Zone. And coming up next on this day in sports history, let's relive a heck of a moment at Old Taylor Field. The last time the Riders went to the Grey Cup, but on this day, it was the West semifinal. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Here comes Bailey. He's got it. Tied a 4-0 world record for Donovan Bailey in the gold medal.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. But you better promise me I'll be back.
On this day in sports history, it was November the 10th. Where were we? We were at Taylor Field. Yes, old Taylor Field, 2013. It was the West semifinal. The BC Lions were beating the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The Riders hosting the Grey Cup this year. And then Darian Durant just put the team on his back.
Deep drop for Durant. Now he takes off with it, and Darian Durant goes forward. Now Darian Durant. The Grey Cup dream is still alive in Saskatchewan.
Yes, indeed. Darian Durant was like, no way are we losing, and ran all over the BC Lions in the second half as the quarterback of the Rough Riders won the West semifinal. That was 12 years ago today. It was the last time the Riders were in the Grey Cup was 2013. And Trevor Harris was looking a little
wasn't
like
the first
Darian
one you
Durant.
Covered officially.
No, no. 09 was the first one I covered.
Okay,
officially. I went to 03. I went to 95. 09 was the first Grey Cup I got to be the post game guy in the locker room after. Thanks for the memories.